This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, and yes, I am back. It was not my fault yesterday, not my fault. I was here, Chris was here, Corey was here, and the weather apparently was here and knocked out several city blocks worth of power, and it didn't come back. So it was, well, you had to do the day without me, but I am here, yes, and man, because I missed yesterday, and I had a lot of things to say yesterday, and then things happened today. There are just a lot of things have piled on top. So I guess maybe the easiest way to do this would be, I'll just go through a little bit of a list here for you. The World Economic Forum, Global Communism. It's had a little bit of a shakeup. We're going to discuss the history of that. We're going to discuss why it matters, what the plot is. We'll get to that in a little bit. The Biden administration was worse than you can imagine, and part two of it would have been positively horrific. Half of young people hate the United States of America. We're going to talk about the communist filtration system. Why is your doctor most likely a dirty commie? Older Americans hate Trump more than younger Americans do. A Venezuelan got snatched up and deported. I find it hilarious. Ketanji Brown Jackson is a moron and a communist. All that. Dick Durbin is retiring, Russia, Ukraine, emails, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, sometimes, the monster under your bed is real. Here's what I mean by that. We all have fears. All of us do. Young people do, old people do. Maybe if you're young listening, I know a lot of kids listen, we love that. Maybe you think to yourself, dad's not afraid of anything, mom's not afraid. They are. Your fears change, but everybody has them. And some fears are unfounded. They're not legitimate. I said the monster under the bed is real, but it's not, obviously. There's no monster there. There's no boogeyman. My wife to this day, if I tell her the wolf from that movie Neverending Story is under her bed, she'll run and jump into the bed. She thinks it's there, but it's not there, obviously. But there's a fear you have and a fear I have that is very, very real. And that is that there is a global group of tyrannical communists trying to destroy your country, your prosperity, your entire way of life. And they take massive amounts of wealth and influence, and they dedicate their wealth and influence to that end. They don't really have loyalty to any nation. Their loyalty is to power, to each other, and to destruction. This is not an invention of the internet or of talk radio or of people who wear tinfoil on their heads. It's been real since the inception of communism. You see,
What was communism's rallying cry? This is important to understand because this is going to come to the World Economic Forum and what's happening. In fact, we'll bring it all the way back to the United States of America at some point in time. But what was the rallying cry of communism? Workers of the world, unite. Workers of the world, unite. Not workers of Berlin, not workers of Russia, not workers of America, workers of the world, unite. What was that about? Well, the thinking was, in communism's in invention, I'll put it that way, in the 1800s, the thinking was that all parts of the globe, every bit of it, it's all structured wrong. It's all out of order. And doesn't matter what your country is. We, if we want to destroy the current order, if we want to make things more equal, better for you, spread the wealth around, that kind of a thing, then we have to ignore borders and things like that, religions, whatever. We all of us, we have to unite to bring down the entire global order. And you should know that the Soviet Union, after the Russian Revolution, after the communists fought a terrible war, won that revolution, they looked around and thought, okay, well, let's begin. And they tried to invade and take over Poland. Poland was going to be the first stop. The Soviet Union had plans to take over and conquer all of Europe. The brave Poles stood up to them and stopped them where they were. And communism didn't immediately spread to the entire globe. But remember, it was always supposed to. And every communist you know, Democrats, every communist you know still wants that. A global upheaval, a global destruction of all of the order. Remember, Stalin and Trotsky had a famous falling out. They never really got along, but had a huge falling out that ended with Trotsky getting an ice pick stuck in his head. But they had a famous falling out, and the real falling out was, how committed are we to the global thing? Should we just stay inside the Soviet Union and make it about us? Should we continue? That was a big part of it. Communism has to be for everybody. But you see, that wasn't unique to Stalin or Lenin or Marx or Mao or any of these people. Every communist to this day believes it. They look around and they think everything is wrong. Everything needs to be burnt down and destroyed. And I should take over how we distribute everything from this point forward. Along comes an organization that has worked day and night to this end, known as the World Economic Forum. Now, if you're the World Economic Forum, it started in the 70s, 1971, I believe. You're Klaus Schwab. You start the World Economic Forum, and Klaus Schwab is a communist. You can go look at a picture or video of him. Look at the bust that sits on his bookshelf. If you look at my bookshelf, you'll see family pictures. I have a really cool Marine Corps thing on there. If you look at Klaus Schwab's bookshelf, you will see a bust of Vladimir Lenin. You can look at it with your own eyes. He's a communist. If you're Klaus Schwab and you start this international communist organization to implement communism around the globe, how do you do that when nobody likes it? You can't get people to buy in. Communists have always run into this problem. They ran into it in Russia. Nobody liked them. Even during the revolution when they hated the czars, the communists had about 25% approval. People didn't want to be a communist. They didn't want to live under communism. Well, you have to penetrate the cabinets, you see.
What we are very proud of now, the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina and so on, so that we penetrate the cabinets.
You don't try to sell your ideas as being something people want to buy. You have to force them. It's always about force. You have to make people do this. We have to make people buy into this communism thing. It doesn't matter whether they want it or what. It's or not. It's not up to them. We're going to make them all do it. How do we make them all do it? We have to locate. We have to identify the positions of power, the critical government positions of power around the globe, and we have to send our little communist minions into those positions of power. Therefore, they can use those that power for our ends. That's the idea. That's the goal. And that's what the World Economic Forum and other groups, that's what they've been doing and are still doing. Remember, this is about currently. Okay, that was a little past preview of what it was. This is going to come back to today because it still goes on. It still exists. Now, let's discuss for a moment. Let's discuss the language they use. Because someone wrote in a fascinating email. I don't have it. In fact, I think I probably threw it away. Sorry about that. But someone wrote in a fascinating email asking about the names of everything. You know, it's always the People's Republic of, the Democratic Republic of this. Every one of these communist countries, they all have some really freedom-sounding name. The People's Republic. It's always a republic for the peoples. A democracy for the peoples. Well, remember, the communist knows language matters. Words matter. And he chooses his words extremely carefully, always trying to, well, lie. He's trying to lie and manipulate. He's trying to sell his demonic religion of domination to the masses in a way that will be palatable to them. If they won't buy in and become his loyal foot soldier, in the very least, he wants to kind of get them to let their guard down, which brings us to shareholder capitalism versus stakeholder capitalism. Are you angry about the state of corporate America? Are you tired of, well, Pride Month's coming. Are you tired of rainbow Oreos? How did that come to be? We'll talk about that next.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday, and I almost forgot that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All 3 hours dedicated to you and your questions. Ask me anything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even have to be political. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Back to global communism and shareholder capitalism versus stakeholder capitalism. Now, I want to caution you against something. I mean, we'll do the best I can. I know it's my job, but try not to let your eyes glaze over and be bored. I'm going to explain this. It's important to understand what they mean, how they think, how they operate, because they will choose their words carefully. And if you don't identify it and know what they're doing, it will go right by you. Klaus Schwab, head of the World Economic Forum. I want you to listen to this and listen very closely. This is going to come back to America's corporations. Why are they so political now?
We have state capitalism. On the other hand, we have shareholder or private capitalism. So it's a clash between two systems.
Remember that little part, okay? It's a clash between two systems. He means that.
I believe that state capitalism in the short term provides certain advantages because you can mobilize in a concentrated way a lot of resources to reach a specific objective. But I believe that the future is not state capitalism or shareholder capitalism. The future is what I call stakeholder capitalism, which is combined with a social responsibility.
Okay, first, let's address the beginning of this because this is really, really, really important for you to understand. You are at war. A political war, a power war. You don't get a say in the matter. It does not take two to tango. When one person decides you're in a fight, you're in a fight. I don't want to punch Jewish producer Chris right now. I have no desire to do so. I usually do, but not right now. If Jewish producer Chris decides to get up from his weird little producer desk with all his buttons and walk in here and sock me in the face, I don't have any choice in the matter. Okay, now we're in a fight. It's out of my hands. They view it as a fight. It doesn't matter if you do. Sorry, you don't get a vote. You're in a fight. They have declared war on your way of life. They're very, very honest about it. He lays it out as clearly as he possibly can.
We have state capitalism. On the other hand, we have shareholder or private capitalism. So it's a clash between two systems.
Now, let's discuss the shareholder capitalism that he seems to be at war with, that your liberal Aunt Peggy is at war with, that Chuck Schumer is at war with. What is that? Well, let's talk about corporate world, the corporate world, Fortune 500 companies and things like that, because this can be misunderstood by a lot of people. Did you know that the board, when there's a publicly traded company, we'll call it Coca-Cola. I'm just using them as a placeholder because it's one everyone knows. Coca-Cola, they have, and there's probably a parent company over Coca-Cola. I'm just doing this for simplicity's sake. Coca-Cola, huge company, global company. They have a board. They will have a CEO. He is not the owner. He's the chief executive officer. He's not the owner. He's in charge of the board, the head of the board, but they will have a board. The CEO is part of the board. Did you know that they actually don't have, they don't have a lot of leeway in what they do with Coca-Cola? And here's why. Well, they're not supposed to. Here's why. Their job, their only job in a free market system is to maintain and, in fact, increase the profit of the shareholders. If I own one share of Coke stock, that board's obligation, whenever they meet, whenever they think, whenever they come up with charts and graphs and whatever, their professional lives are dedicated to me, to making sure my share in Coke either maintains its price, but really that's not it, increases in price. The gigantic company that is Coke and all that incredible financial power that Coke brings in because it's so popular and it's so international, it's not subject to the whims of the latest board, the latest HR, the latest CEO. It's not supposed to be subject to any of those things. Its only loyalty, and I do mean only loyalty, is to profit. The profit of the people who own shares in the company. That is what he's describing when he describes shareholder capitalism. And that is why for most of your life, depending on your age, if you're younger, this is not the true. This is not true. But for most of my life, and if you're older than me, for virtually all of your life, corporations have a complete ban on getting political. We don't get political. We're not Democrats. We're not Republicans. Remember, Michael Jordan famously was asked, hey, why don't you get more involved in all this? And he said, Republicans buy shoes too. That wasn't radical. That's how every business did business for most of my life. Up until, I know this is unbelievable if you're young, but up until, I would say 10 years ago, I don't ever remember one time in my entire life a corporation getting political. It never, ever, ever happened because, well, how does that help the shareholder? But Klaus Schwab and his communist minions identified something with the corporate world, something they wanted. That we will get to next. Before we get to that, we got a box today at the house. I was not there. Well, I was not standing in the kitchen when Aub opened the box. I said, go ahead and open it. She opened it up, and I heard her go, ooh. You know what was in the box? The brand new compact launcher. Actually, two of them from Byrna. Compact launcher. It's a little bit over 4 inches long. I looked at it. I think, this is not exact, I think it's only an inch thick, if that. It's super thin. Gentlemen, ladies, this is the easiest concealed carry of your life. It's non-lethal, okay? Security guards carry it. SWAT teams carry it. People carry it across the country. It shoots tear gas balls or kinetic rounds. It will stop a bad, violent, evil man from hurting you, and it's nothing to carry it. It's light. It's thin. Check out the new Byrna Compact Launcher. I'm obsessed with this thing. Aub carries hers everywhere. I have mine actually on me as we speak. You want a big, fat discount? BYRNA, Byrna.com/Jesse. Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, a wonderful Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. We're talking about global communism. We're going to get to the shakeup at the WEF, bring it all the way home to what we're witnessing, what we're experiencing here in America with these judges and the Trump injunction today and all this stuff. But for now, we're going back to this conversation Klaus Schwab has, where he's talking about shareholder capitalism versus stakeholder capitalism. You see, this is something you have to understand. If you're frustrated today with the latest injunction from the judge, yet another lower court judge stepped up and said, no. The Trump administration has to fund all this DEI. He has to fund all this cultural Marxism. How do we get to this place? Remember, the communist does not view power the way you view power. And that's good. You shouldn't view it the way he does because he's unbelievably evil. The communist sees every little bit of power as an opportunity for his revolution, an opportunity to do one of two things: reward his friends or punish his enemies. And I mean, even the tiniest bit of power, the communist can recognize it right away. He gets into it and he uses it. I've used this example before because it's maybe the most true example in the world. Your public library. When's the last time you walked into your public library? Hey, Chris, when's the last time you walked into the public library? He never had. Corey? Never has. The public library. When's the last time you even, okay, forget about walking into it. When's the last time you really even gave it a second glance as you drove by or walked by? Chris just said he doesn't even know where his is. Okay. I got it. And that's very normal. I don't want to act like I'm different. The only reason I know about ours is our oldest had to do a school project there and whatnot, so I've been in it several times, but otherwise it'd be me too. But here's how the communist thinks. He looks at that library and he doesn't ignore it. He doesn't dismiss it. You see, he's a predator, always looking to eat up and destroy something. He sees that library and he says to himself, well, wait a minute. That's a place where people in the community, they will walk into it and they will grab things. They will grab books to read. They will study there. Why shouldn't I seize that choke point of information and then I can help the revolution with it? Do you know why there's a child drag show where they bring in some freak to read children's books to your kid in your red town?
because you drove by the public library, didn't give it a second thought. The communists saw it immediately and thought, wow, I can use that. Now, that's the public library. Let's go back to what we were discussing, corporate America. I'm 43 years old. For probably the first 30 years of my life, if not more, corporations never got involved in politics, ever. There were no pride flags. There were no Black Lives Matter rallies. No nothing. Now, I guarantee with 5 seconds of research, I could find some kind of gay parade sponsored by the biggest corporations in the country this weekend. I guarantee they're all over the United States of America. Now, come June, my sons will come back snickering at me in the grocery store with all the cookies in the cookie section, Oreos being the worst and most heartbreaking, that now have rainbow packs. How did we go from corporations never, ever, ever trying to get political to now being hyper-political? Well, Klaus Schwab laid it out pretty well here. I'll let it play again. The communists saw that vast quantity of wealth in corporate America, all those billboards, all those TV commercials, the billions, a bit trillions of dollars. And he didn't sit back and think to himself, wow, that's too bad. He thought to himself, man, think about what I could do for the revolution if I got my hands on all that money and made it work for me. When he talks about shareholder capitalism being at war with stakeholder capitalism, what he's saying is Coca-Cola's job should no longer be to reward me, the shareholder of Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola has a duty to take all that money they have and use it for global communism and use it for whatever evil demonic cause I want. That's what Klaus Schwab is saying here. And this is exactly how global communists, this is way beyond Klaus Schwab, it's way beyond the World Economic Forum. This is how every communist in every country thinks.
We have state capitalism. On the other hand, we have shareholder or private capitalism. So it's a clash between two systems. I believe that state capitalism in the short term provides certain advantages because you can mobilize in a concentrated way a lot of resources to reach a specific objective. But I believe that the future is not state capitalism or shareholder capitalism. The future is what I call stakeholder capitalism, which is combined with a social responsibility.
Combined with social responsibility. But who is a stakeholder? Everybody, you see. Coca-Cola doesn't have a job just to reward me, the shareholder. Since we're all stakeholders, Coca-Cola needs to do the right thing for everyone. Now, what kind of a, quote, right thing is he talking about? Things like this.
To limit global warming, you are demanding to halt to coal, oil, and gas exploration. To the development and to the financing of this exploration. As well, you are asking firms to replace any corporate board directors who is unwilling to transition to cleaner energy sources.
Are you the head of Coca-Cola? Have you transitioned your country into all solar panels? You haven't? Time to replace somebody on that board. You owe it to all the stakeholders to do what's best for the earth, you see? But surely this hasn't happened. This is just an internet conspiracy theory. Allow me to reintroduce you to Larry Fink. He's the head of BlackRock. There are three finance giants who control roughly $20 trillion in money. That's big boy money. BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street. Hey, head of BlackRock, are you implementing this shareholder capitalism?
Well, behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors. 54% of the incoming class are women. We added 4 more points in terms of diverse employment this year. You know, what we are doing internally is, if you don't achieve these levels of impact, your compensation could be impacted, okay?
We're doing the same thing.
And so it's just, you have to force behaviors. And if you don't
That'll be fine. The system is not something some filthy communist with the James Bond accent came up with. It's been implemented. And it didn't go away because we won an election in November. It has been implemented. It's everywhere now. Now you drive down the road and the Coca-Cola ad, instead of it being Mean Joe Green sucking down a Coke after the Super Bowl, now it's somebody sucking down something else. It's awful. What, Chris? I didn't say anything wrong. It's fine. Look, I've been taking a lot of chalk lately, okay? So I'm super amped up about everything. I'm not even what you call reckless at this point in time. I'm so full of energy. I'm so full of pep. I'm so ready to go at all times. That's how I killed the mosquito. You know, I really have to give credit for that mosquito kill to chalk more than anything else. I have to give credit to chalk. I don't know if I could have taken down that mosquito if my T levels weren't so high. My hands probably wouldn't have been as fast. I might not have even had the strength, but it was just so easy for me. It was like Samson taking apart that lion. It was almost the exact same thing. Do you want to feel like that? A male vitality stack from Chalk will have your T levels up 20% in 90 days. You want to take down animals like I do? CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. Ladies, do you want the energy to cheer on when men take down animals? Female vitality stacks for you. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. You'll feel like $1 million. Might even get a mosquito one day. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Don't forget, tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Of course, the reason I wanted to have this talk is I wanted to remind everybody, we haven't had this talk in a long time, that the communists have been at this game for a very long time. And just because we won an election in November doesn't mean they haven't already put their people into critical positions of power across the planet. Not just across the American government, not just across America, across the planet, there are in place, seasoned, committed communist revolutionaries that believe their job is to reward their friends and punish their enemies. So when you wake up like you woke up this morning and you find out yet another lower court judge is trying to stop Donald Trump, that lower court judge views himself as a revolutionary, as a soldier for the revolution. You can scream at him until you're blue in the face that what he's doing is wrong, it's unjust, he does not care. He has been put there. He views his role as a judge, as fighting for the revolution. The communist always sees himself as a communist first. And the reason this throws people off is they think the communist sees himself as whatever title they happen to have first, and he's a communist in his spare time. No, that's how you think. That's how I think. I'm a political activist in the extra time I have, when I'm not at work or I'm not at home or I'm not doing something like that. That's when I'm a political activist. The communist doesn't think like that at all. If he's in the local library, he's a communist first, a librarian second. If he's wearing a judge's robes, he's a communist first, a judge second. If he takes over the Cub Scouts, he's a communist first, a Cub Scout leader second. If he's at the State Department, he's a communist first, State Department second. If he wears a general's uniform, he's a communist first, he's a general second. If he's a CEO, he's a you get the idea. He only wears these titles and uniforms as a skin suit to hide his warrior nature on behalf of the revolution, and it is ongoing all the time. And this is why I have told you, And I will tell you again, you will never in your life, and neither will I, see total victory over the communists who have been fighting this war for 100 years, putting their people into place for 100 years. That doesn't mean we won't win. I actually believe we will win. But victory is 1,000 battles away. It's not one election, not one presidential election or gubernatorial election or water board or city council or school board. 1,000 victories, because there are millions of these little demons out there seeking power all the time. And unless we choose to fight them, we will lose. Now, we will win if we fight them. Our ideas are good. Their ideas are sick. Our ideas are right, and we want people's lives to be better. Theirs are not. If we choose to engage, we will win. Final thing on this World Economic Forum thing, because there's a bunch. I'm going to piggyback off of this into, there's so much sound and so many different things I want to talk about today, but there's a shakeup at the World Economic Forum. They're investigating Klaus Schwab for, well, doing what all these people do, investigating him for stealing, for lack of a better way to put it. You take the corporate credit card, World Economic Forum credit card, and you go a little crazy at the local steakhouse with it, and you book yourself some first-class tickets with it. Look, these organizations are stocked full of the most evil people you can imagine. We just talked about the organization, its purpose. Just listen to this one more time, one more time. What kind of a person do you think works for this organization?
We have state capitalism. On the other hand, we have shareholder or private capitalism. So it's a clash between two systems. I believe that...
Do you think some just good down-home folks work for an organization like that? No, it's full of vicious little monsters. Klaus Schwab's a vicious little monster too. Do I think he did these things? Probably. Do I also think this is about to be a standard communist power grab? Probably. You want to feel better about something? That was a lot of heaviness. Here's something for you. The communists are always eating each other. In fact, we're going to get to the latest on that with David Hogg, the shakeup at the DNC. This is not new. They're always taking each other out because there's no loyalty, right? It's all evil. It's all full of bad people. They're constantly kneecapping each other, killing each other, depending on the country, taking each other out, always in an endless pursuit of power and money. That is how these people operate at all times. I just thought it would be necessary to have this talk, because I know you're mad. Dr. Jesse, judge blocks Trump from withholding funds from sanctuary cities. Judges consider blocking executive orders. Why can't the administration just ignore these judges and find Republican judges, so on and so forth? The administration can't ignore the judges. It's just a matter of will. That's it. It's a matter of will. People have a natural hesitation, an understandable hesitation of escalating things, of pushing things too far. And the Trump administration is no different. And I'm not dogging on. This is not an insult. It is quite a thing. I won't say it's unprecedented, because it's happened several times before in American history. But it is quite a thing for an American president to say, you know what? I don't care what the judge says. No, try and enforce it. Very Andrew Jackson line. Well, the judge made his ruling. Let's see him enforce it. But Andrew Jackson ain't here anymore. It's the year 2025. And when you're the Trump administration, and remember, it's not just Donald Trump. The Trump administration is full of people who want a political future, and you're considering that political future, and you consider putting out a statement that says, I don't care what the judge says, the answer is no. It feels like a real crossing the Rubicon moment, and that puts us in quite a pickle. Let's make fun of Democrat dysfunction. Then we'll do some other things. Let's first take care of your dog. Let's get some nutrition in your dog. I am so grateful to Rough Greens for what they did for Fred and his stomach problems. You see, Fred has anxiety issues, seasonal allergies. I'm not even making that up. He has seasonal allergies. I can't. And he also gets physically sick if he eats any food that doesn't have rough greens on it. Rough greens saved our lives. It's a nutritional supplement you sprinkle on your dog's food. It's got live vitamins and minerals and digestive enzymes and probiotics. You will see physical differences in your dog. Behavioral differences. Is your dog hyperactive or even too lethargic? Your dog doesn't get nutrition from dog food. The dog food is brown because it's dead. Get your dog some real nutrition. 833-33-MY-DOG gets you a free jumpstart trial bag, or you can go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.